Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you so much for listening. I offer a heartfelt welcome to new listeners and a welcome back to existing subscribers. If you like this show, please do click on the subscribe button. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org. We are exploring in this episode the definition of a spiritual companion with Executive Director Reverend Sefu Anil Singh Molaris. Just who is a spiritual companion? Many world religions have historically honored the role of the spiritual companion. At SDI, we invite you to discern on the ways in which you might fit this role. Whether you are a trained spiritual director, a nurse, a chaplain, a lawyer, a pastor, an artist, or in the myriad of other ways in which we provide spiritual friendship in our lives and to the world. So you wanted to talk about this question, are you a spiritual companion? And why are we asking that question? What is at the root of that question, are you a spiritual companion?
Well, our name is Spiritual Directors International, and I've written about this a number of times in the 3 years that I've been the executive director of SDI. Spiritual Directors is a designation that originates within the Abrahamic context and has renderings in the Catholic tradition, where originally, I'm talking decades ago, spiritual direction was the province of priests only. And in the 30 years since SDI has been created, it's very quickly evolved into being a province of mostly lay people, not ordained, many more women than men, although that proportion is starting to shift. There's starting to be more balance, particularly in the last few years. Judaism recognizes that designation as well. And to a lesser extent, some strands of Islam, Sufism in particular, are comfortable with that terminology. Interestingly, some strands of Hinduism also are comfortable with the designation spiritual direction, spiritual director. Having said that, outside of these examples that I mentioned, most of the mainline religions on the planet outside of the Abrahamics are not as well-versed with that terminology, and they're much more comfortable with the terminology of spiritual companionship, spiritual companions. So they're not; these two terms are not mutually exclusive. I think they're complementary. I'd say every spiritual director is a spiritual companion by definition. But not every spiritual companion is a spiritual director by definition. So it's not bidirectional. And so for those Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, Zoroastrians, Taoists, members of other well-established religious traditions, the term spiritual companionship resonates more easily. Is more accessible to them. That's one slice that we wanted. That's part of the reason why we're emphasizing both spiritual direction, director, and spiritual companion in our latest manifestations at SDI. Is the invitation. And so a lot of people, when they look at SDI, they go, "Well, that's all fine and well, but I'm not a spiritual director." That we look at what are the components of a good spiritual director. It's deep listening. It's a deep contemplative practice. It's accountability to the people that we companion, the people that in our communities, and our supervisors, right? So there are certain common elements that we recognize across the board, across religious traditions. Then we have the fastest growing segment of spiritually inclined people on the planet are the spiritually fluid, spiritually independent, the multi-spiritual, multi-faith folks out there. And so how does spiritual companionship manifest in that crowd and to that crowd? Mm-hmm. And then there are the huge number of people, I'll give you some examples, healthcare workers, nurses, doctors, healing professionals of various kinds, therapists, psychologists, lawyers, business people across a wide variety of professions who incorporate those essential tenets that I described just a few minutes ago into how they practice. And so they have a special focus on being companions along with whatever professional manifestation they are exhibiting. And so we want to make sure that all those people know that they're welcome at SDI, that they're part of our family, that we want them to be part of our family. Mm-hmm. That we want them to grow with us, and we want to grow with them and to see themselves recognized in the SDI space. So those are some of the reasons.
Yeah. It sounds like you are really broadening the concept that people are doing spiritual companionship in a lot of different ways. And so this question, are you a spiritual companion, is, like you said, an invitation. How does somebody discern that for themselves? How does the healthcare worker discern that they are a spiritual companion? How does the lawyer discern that they are a spiritual companion?
Yeah, I think it starts with the definitional issue, right? Which is what describes the work that I do. So people would say in the healthcare professions that they are healers, right? Even that terminology can be problematic for them, but they would probably easily recognize themselves as healers. Do they sit alongside the people that they treat, the patients that they treat? Are they sitting by their bedsides and in an end-of-life scenario or in a recovery scenario? Is it applicable in a mental health scenario? Does it describe an essential component of their work? Sitting, walking alongside others, companioning them, not just supportively, but helping them address that longing for a deeper connection with the essence, however you want to describe it, with God, with the universe, with Tao, with Brahman, with Allah. However you want to describe that universal essence that is clearly beyond words.
Yeah.
That is clearly beyond our ability to encapsulate it. So it's kind of recognizing I'm not just a healer, but I'm also accompanying people as they come to a growing awareness of their role beyond life and death itself, of connecting to that wellspring that is beyond these incarnations that we inhabit, these bodies that we inhabit at any particular moment, mm-hmm. To reflect that connection with a deeper essence.
Yeah. You touch on a tricky language thing that we deal with here at Spiritual Directors International, is the term spiritual. Mm-hmm. And you talk about how people doing this work with other people are touching into the essence. We try to use as many names as possible for mm-hmm. it. But it is inherently unnameable what yes. you said. So how does somebody, like, what if somebody just has never even considered that their work is spiritual, right? Or if I said, like, hey, you are a spiritual companion, that they might bristle at. That is like, what about my work is spiritual? I don't even believe in spirit, or right. I don't know. I don't even, like, we're not even on the same page about the, like, what is spiritual?
Yeah. You know, I think it's shorthand for an aspiration or a longing to connect with something deeper. And we call it spiritual, or we call it whatever terminology we use, but we're referring to, as you said, as we both said, something that is beyond descriptions and beyond words. Although words can point to it, just like the finger, the proverbial finger points to the moon, but is not the moon. So words can serve a purpose to point people, and it can also, they can serve the opposite purpose, as you're saying, which is, that's not terminology that I'm comfortable with. Well, then what language are you comfortable with? What describes, how would you describe what you do? And as you do that discerning process, then you might come around to, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call myself a spiritual companion, or a spiritual director, or a guide, or a friend, whatever term you might be comfortable with. But really what you're pointing to with that terminology is working with someone else in a joint aspiration to connect with that deeper essence, however it might be described. So spiritual is shorthand. It's commonplace shorthand for that deeper connection.
Yeah. Well, and I think that also broadens this notion of spiritual companionship beyond merely vocational. Mm-hmm. We were describing how a healthcare worker or a lawyer, but it's inherent also in the term companion, that mm-hmm. it's just inherently relational.
Yes.
And so anybody who is in relationship with other people could be a spiritual companion.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, we did this exercise at the office a couple of weeks back where we described instances in our own lives where we had been kind of spontaneous spiritual companions to somebody else, or they had been that way with us. And so we all have that longing built into us, and that ability to connect more deeply is built into our essence, because our essence is not separate from the essence from any other, from the essence of the universe.
Yeah.
Having said all of that, I think what distinguishes spiritual companions or spiritual directors in the SDI context is the depth of our practice, the depth of our education, of our striving, of our contemplative practices. This is not a hobby. It is a deep, committed set of practices, lifelong learning, daily prayer, daily meditation, daily reflection, however you express that connection. Mm-hmm. Ethical principles, you know, behaving correctly, behaving ethically, responsibly, accountably. And that sense of accountability is really key. We not only do no harm, which is the least of what we should aspire to, but we actually actively try to promote the good, as the Greeks would have described that word, the good, right? Which is to help people along the paths. And it's, this whole path is a path of maturity or evolution towards maturity, spiritual maturity. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, this is not a fly-by-night operation. It's people who have invested a lot of themselves over a prolonged period of time to achieve depth and connection and integrity in their practice as spiritual companions, spiritual directors.
Support for this podcast comes from Spiritual Companionship for Our Times, SDI's annual gathering of spiritual companions happening in Santa Fe, New Mexico, April 23rd through 26th, 2020. Registrations are now open with super early bird pricing available through September 15th. We'll be celebrating SDI's 30th anniversary and charting the road ahead as we seek to welcome more and more people to the transformational gifts of spiritual companionship and to make this healing modality available to every person on the planet. Learn more now about our annual conference at www.sdievents.org. And now here's part two of our conversation.
What makes the work of spiritual companionship so vital and in our times? Consider that it's 2019 and we don't have to name all the various specifics of our zeitgeist culturally, politically, but what makes spiritual companionship important for today, 2019?
Well, spiritual companionship is always relevant in a world where there is strife and injustice and mortality and suffering and impermanence, transience, right? It's spiritual companionship really goes to, in Zen, we call this this great matter, right? And this great matter reflects life and death. Mm-hmm. Which is the ultimate consideration that we all have. We are here but a short time. How do we get here and where are we going after we die? Pretty big question.
Yeah, but that's the what is the meaning of life question, right? I mean, yes. Everyone has heard that sort of cliche before, yeah. Like, what is the meaning of life? It's this unknowable thing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for some people, for people, you know, for a spiritual companion, that is the motivating question.
It is the motivating question, and it becomes the motivating question for all of us. I mentioned life and death because it's, for many of us, it's on our deathbeds or as we're approaching, or you know, we have had a terrible accident and somebody who we love dearly has passed away suddenly, that we stop in our tracks and consider our own mortality and consider, what am I doing here, really? And not just in some trivial, you know, oh, well, that's a great, as you said, trite saying, what is the meaning of life, a question, what is the meaning of life, but as an essential, suddenly you need an answer to that, desperately need an answer to some horrible tragedy or horrible injustice that you've witnessed or that's been perpetrated on you. And you go looking for that deeper meaning. And because we expect we're built for questions and we also are built for answers, right? We're built for stories, and stories have their arcs and we need to see that arc fulfilled in some way. So I think that those deeper questions is what spiritual companions help us address and it's not a coincidence that most of our trained spiritual directors and spiritual companions were propelled into this calling by some juncture in their life, some critical juncture in their life where they felt considerable pain and loss and strife, and were invited thereby into considering there's got to be something deeper going on here. I don't understand the meaning, but I want to understand. I want to understand more deeply. I want to believe that there is something deeper for me to tap into in the face of, as I was just mentioning, cruelty, injustice, loss, impermanence, etc.
It's interesting that you touch on that as the crux for that conversation that someone has with themselves. What is the meaning of life? That it's something as you described in Zen, that is impermanence, but is also, as you named, pain and suffering and loss and trying desperately to prescribe meaning to that or find meaning in it.
Yeah.
What is it that happens for, say, for somebody who came up with a religious background? You probably know where I'm going with this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we spend a lot of our lives developing worldview, trying to make sense of the world, kind of constructing a sense of self and how the self operates in the world. Mm-hmm. And we prescribe to various ideologies, be they political or spiritual or whatever. And why don't those things work when these life events, which are inevitable, come upon us, and then we're left with all these questions?
You know, a couple of answers are coming to mind. One is the power of stories. When we were children, we were told children's stories, and they satisfied us. And it's not a coincidence that children's stories wrestle deeply with issues of good and evil, right?
Mm.
Of loss and love and redemption and the journey and the adventure. All of those things are built into our narrative empathy, our narrative capabilities, and our narrative longing, actually, our longing for a good story to explain the world to us. It starts from the earliest of childhood. And as children, we were transfixed by those stories. And we have children of our own, we know the power that they have over our own children in terms of satisfying their longing and their curiosity. So stories and the themes of those stories, which I've just described, are lifelong. It's 30 years later, it's still the struggle between good and evil, between damnation and redemption. Depending on your story and its parameters, how you frame that story, it's there. So that's one aspect of it. And of course, we outgrow our children's stories to some extent, on the one hand, and on the other hand, we go deeper and deeper and deeper into them.
Yeah.
And so that's what this exploration, that's what a spiritual companion is. In some ways, it's a metaphor for being a good storyteller, although spiritual companions they're actually listening to you as you tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
And by inviting you to tell your story, you are able to craft that narrative in a compelling way for you. And whether it's through, you know, going back to that, to your religious upbringing, whatever our religious upbringing is. Say we grew up listening to the Bhagavad Gita and the story of these great struggles between these mighty warriors and what they tell us about the meaning of life and the purpose and the redemption of life. And when we were kids, we'd listen to the Gita on one level as these great wars. And as we grow in maturity, we realize that it's telling us, revealing some essential truths about love in the universe and the ability to transcend our suffering, the ability to be redeemed. And the Gita is one example. I mean, Christianity has its own set of very powerful, compelling stories. And when I say stories, I'm not saying that in a demeaning way. It's just the power of narratives and the power of symbols and metaphors and people to embody. You know, when we say Jesus is love, or Krishna is love. They're both love, right? They're, mm-hmm. they're both the incarnations of pure love. Why is that so important?
Yeah.
And I think intuitively as children, we know that it's important, but we can't quite put it into words. We feel it, we intuit it. And as we get older, hopefully we find our own voice around it, so that those stories that we were told become our own stories.
Yeah. We understand them on a different level because we have started to actually live them.
Yes.
Right? And it's interesting how you say we intuit a good story from our childhood. And then where it's not that as we grow older, like you said, we're not demeaning the stories. It's almost like, no, we are fulfilling them because we're living out a lot of these grand themes, and which makes a good story is just that it encompasses the human experience. And so maybe that's the destabilizing event for someone is, you know, this isn't just a history lesson, you know, this ancient story, but it's also like, I'm experiencing a lot of this now for myself. Do these things really work? These things of good and evil and right and wrong and life and death.
Yes.
You know, what does it look like for me to actually live those out?
Yeah, I think that's beautifully put. I think we become the story, we embody the story. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to read about law. So the Buddha, you know, grew up as a prince and shuttered off from the world because his father wanted to protect him from the misery of the world. And once he stepped outside of the compound walls and he saw death and dying and decay and poverty and hunger, his life changed immediately because he saw firsthand what was really happening. And I think the stories, the narratives that are told to us are invitations to experience more deeply, to live into them. And the spiritual companion allows us to take those stories and make them our own. And eventually to actually go beyond the stories themselves, to be comfortable enough with shedding ourselves of those words and those confines and say, now I'm ready to plunge into the unknown. You know, now I'm ready to take that great leap of faith. And I don't know what's waiting for me, but I've come to trust there's a holding, that there will be a holding for me.
Mm-hmm. We have learned from these ancient stories and these religions that have shaped us, and we still hold them dearly because they have embedded in them deep truths.
Exactly.
And we're starting to touch on those deep truths. And it's those deeper truths that what I was writing down was that something is going to hold together even as you go beyond yourself.
Yes, your parachute.
Your parachute.
As you jump off the cliff, there's a parachute and it's made up of the holdings that are there for you so that you can trust, so that you can leap into the unknown or into that deeper awareness with enough confidence to make that leap, without enough faith. And some people would say with enough faith to make that leap.
Yeah. Do you think what's coming to me now is that the importance of a spiritual companion to remind the person they're listening to that it holds together for them. As somebody is discerning for themselves deeper meanings, deeper truths, or shedding of truths and wading out into the deep end and going into the unknown, that a spiritual companion, right, is somebody who will remind you that it's going to hold together for you.
Well, and who, yes, I agree with that, and who will invite you to create your own moorings, you know, mooring devices, so as I said earlier, so that you can feel comfortable making that leap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with faith and confidence that the raft that you've built for yourself is going to hold,
mm-hmm.
is going to carry you through. And also to be open to the unknown, because there's nothing that none of us live forever. Everything that we know or think we know is going to be taken away, right? These very bodies that we inhabit, the houses that we live in, the food, the children, the friends, the lovers, the partners, none of this lasts. It's rare that we will be remembered 50 years after our death or 100 years after our death. It's the rare human being whose life or narrative is so compelling that it holds beyond. So nothing lasts.
Mm-hmm.
And yet something always, there's something always there. It's a paradox, right? Nothing
yeah.
lasts, and yet there's something always there holding. Mm. And so who among us doesn't want to be face to face with that holding, with that awareness? If you're steeped in it, then everything can be taken from you, and yet you lose nothing.
Mm. I have one last question.
Yeah.
So for the traditional spiritual director, the spiritual director who has been a part of this community for a long time, I'm thinking archetypal, you know,
mm-hmm.
Is there any reason, I'm just going to play devil's advocate, is there any reason for a traditional spiritual director who has gone through the training and the mm-hmm. discernment and the accountability to be threatened at all by the broadening of the umbrella that SDI is embracing?
I would say not. I would say that if anything, this broadening is enriching. Right. If you are steeped in who you are and steeped in what you know and comfortable, mature. If you're mature, it's hard to dislodge that maturity. On the contrary, you tend to invite contributions to even more maturity, to even more learning and more discernment. You're still rooted in who you are. You're still rooted in the identity you've chosen for yourself. But you're open to seeing different expressions of it outside of you. And so I would say that, and I know as part of my job in this organization, I'm blessed to know many spiritual directors, longtime spiritual directors, who welcome that diversity with open arms because they find themselves enriched by it. By the different manifestations.
Mm-hmm.
It's also more congruent and more consistent. It means this truth with a capital T that we hold dear exists beyond the narrow confines of our particular tribe. It's there everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In all of humanity, through all of time, it's there. It's constant. What spiritual seeker of any depth would not welcome the opportunity to connect with that essence, no matter how it manifests.
Mm.
And as validation for that truth, capital T, that they hold dear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's helpful.
Mm.
As part of my work as a visual artist and a teacher for several years, is empowering people to know that they are creative beings and have creative agency in their life. And that you don't have to be professionally trained, you don't have to have a graduate degree in art to live a life that is artistic,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't have to be threatened by that either, right? As somebody who has spent a lot of money on artistic training and done that work, right? It's like, well, no, there's, you know, it's like my vocation is threatened somehow by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a beautiful analogy. I would also, I'm a musician, so it's like, wow, there's 25 pieces of music I'd never heard, and some of them are, you know, really beautiful, even though I don't, they're not in my wheelhouse, because there's different techniques of playing or different instruments or different tonalities or different musical systems, actually. But it produces a sound that moves me and inspires me. And so it's, you know, if you love music like I do, any new piece of music out there that moves me and is compelling is a gift and a revelation and a confirmation of the power of music or art in your case, or however it might manifest for those people listening to us.
Yeah, because if I believe that creative agency is really real and true, you don't acquire it through, I mean, you can refine it through institutional training, but it's inherent. And so why not have that affirmed by seeing that in as many people as possible?
Exactly. Yeah. The experience of others become confirmation and validation.
Yeah.
Not a threat. Not at all a threat. In fact, the complete opposite from a threat. Confirmation and validation.
Yeah. That's cool.
SDI extends invitation and welcome to you, not just in this episode, but as a community of life travelers, to all those who practice spiritual care across expressions and vocations. Or if you are curious or interested in discerning further for yourself the work of a spiritual companion. Do you see yourself as a spiritual companion? If so, we want you to be part of this learning community, and we want to nourish you in your transformational heart work. You're listening to this podcast, which means you are already dipping your toes in the waters of spiritual companionship. You can also stay connected by subscribing to our monthly email newsletter, which is called Discover, or through our quarterly Listen publication, both of which can be registered through our website, sdiworld.org. And if you already do these things and you want to go deeper, then I invite you to take the next step and become a member of SDI, which sustains our work and allows us to continue producing media like this. So you can also become a member of SDI through our website, which again is sdiworld.org. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you for your work as a spiritual companion and for all you do to provide this urgent work and healing to our world. This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others.